You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. It's that time again for the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. This is episode 71, you guys. I'm recording this on October 30th. 2019. How you doing? Here in Austin, Texas, it is cold as shit. Not as shit, it's cold. I'm sure cold as shit is coming. It's just kind of, it's just bleak and in the 40s and promising to rain some, possibly, though, like the whole day. So it's nice and gloomy. I feel great. Man, do I love gloomy weather. I actually do, because my girlfriend got me for my birthday this wrap, like instead of a scarf, because I haven't figured out there's like a thing with scarves where you wrap it a certain way and it goes no, and then you tuck it. I no, so this thing just like slides over your head and then it can you can pull it up over your face or you like your nose and mouth. When I ride my scooter, and then these kick-ass gloves. And so, like, I ran errands today while it was goddamn freezing, and it was fine. I was absolutely snug. It didn't matter. The wind didn't do shit to me, and I was very happy. So I'm enjoying it. It's I hope you're doing well. This is the Halloween episode. Yeah. Ooh. And it's the Halloween episode because tomorrow's Halloween and that's the only reason. I don't know. I loved Halloween for a while and then for a few years I did not because when you're sober, that kind of, especially when you're newly sober, it's the idea of Halloween as an adult, besides the scary movies, the whole dressing up and stuff, there's only two places to dress up that's socially acceptable and not kind of weird. And that is either at work for Halloween or at a party. And if you're not drinking, that kind of cuts out the the fun, because you're not going to go trick-or-treating for very long before the authorities are called. Just wandering out with no children. Also, candy is not that expensive. It seems futile. The amount of work that you have to put in versus $5 worth of candy just by at the store. It doesn't seem worth it to me. Also, you have to talk to strangers. And it's, you know, as a kid, that's scary. As an adult, that's annoying. So Halloween was just kind of like a, hey, I get to wear a thing at work or I get to dress up for Instagram. That's really was what I did for like a few years was just dressing up for Instagram for an Instagram pic. But that was, you know, it's like, well, that was cool. Let me take this shit off now and go about my life. But more recently, now that I've, now that I have a significant other, it's been a lot better because we get to watch movies together. It's like, hey, let's watch this. All right, cool. Her favorite Halloween movie is her favorite scary movie is Rosemary's Baby. We watched that last night, and of course the carving pumpkins. I really enjoy doing that as an activity. So it's back, and I want to promote. If you want an actual Halloween podcast, the Dana Gould Hour. I'm a huge fan of comedian Dana Gould, but he goes all out on his Halloween podcast. And his Halloween podcast, there's a bunch of people on there this time around. It's 3.5 hours long. So if you're looking for a Halloween podcast to last you, if you have to work tomorrow and you know, I want to keep it festive, that's what you want to listen to. It's the Dana Gould Hour. You can find it on any podcast searching tool. So that's what I would recommend. And I got to work tomorrow, so I have a skeleton T-shirt that's black that matches what I normally wash dishes with. So I'm just going to do that. So that's all I'm doing, and then hanging out here as well. So big change for me. Sorry, I needed water. Big change for me. So my girlfriend moved in with me. And it's official. Like, all her shit is here. And I can't remember, because I've told you before, I don't remember what I talk about a lot of times. So I can't remember how much I've mentioned about that, about adjusting to having control issues. And it's funny, because I'm not really attached to any of my stuff. So, but still, it's like, oh, I don't know. Can we move that desk? Yes. Yes, you can. So there's a whole lot of initial, it's like, was there any fear with your girlfriend moving in with you? And I'm like, not so much fear as just the anxiety with having to deal with change and going, I don't. And then once that was over, it's fine. Like cleaning out the walk-in closet. Because I've got two closets in my bedroom, and one's a small one. That's where all my clothes are. And then the big walk-in closet for all her stuff. And so, like, I was cleaning out things that I had stuff in my walk-in closet that had been there, that had not moved, and had been sitting there for over 5 years. There's a guitar amp in there. I don't play guitar. That wasn't my amp. It belonged to my roommate who moved to New York in 2014. And it's been sitting there. So I got rid of that. Got rid of a bunch of things. And that was that's how I got rid of the initial anxiety, was getting rid of stuff that I was holding on to. And for no real reason. Just, I was like, well, that's a thing to have. And I just, you know, once you start... And then you start getting, you know, getting kind of a rush. So it's like, I'm going to throw everything out. And it just, you know, it's easy. Just moderation, Johnny. Just like everything else. Just like, let's not get addicted to throwing everything away with your addictive personality. It's like, this is my new vice, throwing shit away. It's cool. We've made it work. We've got all the stuff in here. There's still a lot of stuff. They're still unpacking, figuring out, you know, the merging. Because, like, she doesn't have a bunch of stuff. I don't have a bunch of stuff. But together, it seems like a lot. So you just kind of, you know, just the... And I haven't lived with somebody I was dating in a long time. So it's kind of a step. It's a step. It's great. It's... What it really reminds me, if we're going to talk about the recovery side related, is it's interesting how being sober and then working on yourself, like having some goals, I guess. But even like I haven't even had like a bunch of goals that I'm pushing myself every day. It's like, oh, we got to, you know, kind of like I said a couple of weeks ago, you don't have to run a goddamn marathon. You don't have to. You can. You don't have to. You don't have to push yourself and go, I've got to change. I've got to do all this shit. You don't have to do that. You can just, it's just about, you know, one day at a time, as they say. But for real, like it's just taking, you know, small steps and just moving forward. And it's just amazing. It's an interesting. It's really, it's fascinating to look back now over, you know, 7 years sobriety, and then, you know, year by year the change, you know, and just, you know, finally, you know, for a while there, only having a California twin bed. Like, obviously, I'm just going to be a monk my entire life, as you can see by my, you know, I don't need no woman pad that I had with my desk and my Xbox and my bed for absolutely just one person and maybe the cat. And, you know, and just having just different stuff and then slowly just going, let's get in a bed. Let's get a bed for adults. Let's get an actual TV in here, to the point where we're moving in. And she had to convince me, like, it took a few minutes to convince me, hey, maybe we don't need three flat screen TVs in a one bedroom apartment. I'm just saying, maybe we probably don't need three TVs. That might be a bit much. And I was like, no, but this one isn't really a TV. It's a monitor for an Xbox. Is it though? So, and it's like, John, get rid of that one. And we can use the big TV. You can hook the Xbox to that. And I went, oh, right. So the gaming experience actually gets better. Huh. And it can be a TV. It is a TV. Right. It is a TV. So we got rid of one of the TVs. Oh, yeah. It's, that makes sense. But, yeah, so it's amazing how far things have come. One of the things about that is that I'm still doing my podcast. She works from home. So she's got her desk and her work. She's working right now in the dining room / office. And I am recording this in the bedroom with the door shut while the cat licks herself about 2 feet from me. But she, my girlfriend has a dog and he is here. So that you may occasionally hear a dog doing a muffled bark because like he knows he's not supposed to bark, but he's still going to bark because, you know, dog. So it's kind of a, so it's like a, it's like barking with your hand over your mouth. It's kind of like that. So there's, you know, there's some adjustment of, you know, she wants me to be able to do the podcast without feeling self-conscious, I guess, because there's, you know, I'm used to nobody being here. And now there's another person here and a dog and a cat. So there's going to be. It's possible that there will be distractions in the background, but you don't care. You're going to listen regardless. I'm just setting it up to let you know that's what that noise is when you hear it randomly moving forward. But it's working out, man. And it's a testament to just, yeah, you don't have to, like I said, you don't have to go full throttle. It's just about moving forward. It's just about day to day, just living life without, you know, trying to move forward instead of backwards, trying to just be somewhat productive. Being slightly productive is better than being self-destructive. That's really what it comes down to. Even if it's only a little productive, a little productivity is better than any self-destruction. And it just, over time, things get better. So that's cool, right? Yeah. So, yeah, so things are going great. I was thinking about it that, because I've bitched about my work, things happening at work, I think, the past couple of weeks. And this week, this past week of work was fine for me. I don't know about anybody else, but I had a good week. But I was thinking about it, and for the longest time, and it's because of nostalgia, because it's easy to reflect fondly on past events and be like, man, that was so cool. That my favorite job was when I worked at Domino's Pizza in college. And I would always think fondly of that because, you know, it's come home with money and food every night. And it was, you know, that I worked at this location that was run by these potheads who just kind of, the owner didn't really like to work. So I ended up having to like run the shift a lot of times, and I liked being in charge, but also I was a delivery driver. Like, I wouldn't take the management position because you made more money as a delivery driver. So I got in my mind, the best of both worlds and stuff. But, you know, you still had to talk to customers. You had to answer the phone. You know, yeah, delivering pizzas was cool because you get to drive around and listen to music in your car. But, I mean, you still had to talk to people, you know, face to face and see, well, you know, when you deliver the pizza and see if, you know, who's going to tip you and who's, you know, going to stiff you and not give a shit. Like, thank you. Here's exact change. Have a good day. It's like, oh, prick. You know, that you still had that, but, you know, that was fine because I was in my early 20s. So, you know, so nostalgia, just, you know, the more I thought about it, I decided after a while, I was just thinking about it going, you know, no, right now, this is my favorite job, the one that I'm doing during the day, the dishwashing job I get, because I get tipped out. Because I'm working up front a little bit, but I don't interact with customers. In the back in the dish pit, I listen to music 9 hours a day. So I'm constantly listening to music, which has allowed me to, you know, when you listen to music 36 hours a week at least, you tend to burn out on your stuff. And so you learn new, you know, you get to experience new music. And that's what's gotten me into, you know, prog rock and jazz and stuff that I never really explored before. And, you know, it's a physical job, but, you know, it keeps me on my toes, and it's a great job. I'm really happy where I'm at, and life too. So I'm in a really good spot. I'm having a great year, even if most of you are not. Sorry. I don't mean to rub it in your face, but it's going all right. But, I wanted to, just related to the, because last week I said I was going to talk about death this week, and I probably should have talked about death last week because I was in the mood to do it. Not in the mood to do it today. I don't care. Sorry, guys. I said I was going to, but I don't, there's not a whole lot to say today. I don't feel like saying anything about it, even though it's a Halloween. It's let's talk about spooky shit like death. You know what? All right, I'll do it for like 2 minutes. Here's the deal. Because of overdosing when I was a heroin addict, one of the benefits of it for me, one of the benefits of having to go through that shit is that I ended up on the other end of it. I didn't die, but I almost died like several times and was brought back. And because of that, what happens is you kind of, you know, it helped me lose any kind of fear of death, of the fact that, you know, one day it's going to be over. Because because you go from like nothing, from like, you know, like not existing, not dreaming or whatever, to like being brought back. And you're like, fuck. Why'd you bring me back? I was fine, kind of a feeling. And I distinctly remember that shit and being annoyed that paramedics did their job, which is an odd situation later when you're thinking back on it going, God, I'm such an asshole. But that's kind of how you feel. But it allowed me to just, because it's, because there are some people that, because people don't like to bring up, they don't like to talk about death. They don't like, you know, funerals are awkward. And, you know, people just try to ignore it. It's like, no, I'm going to live forever and I'm not going to look at it. And then there's other people who go way overboard, and I don't like them either, because they're all like, ooh, look how edgy I am. Yeah, I'm all about death. And it's just like, ugh, somebody's overcompensating for their own fear. And it's really just a matter of, my perspective on it basically shifted to, it's no big deal. It'll happen when it happens and I won't know. Like in my mind, I'm going to live forever because that's all I'll know is life. That's the whole deal, is you're dead, you're not going to know. It's like, that's it. At least that's how I view it. It's kind of like my, people ask me what, and they don't do it anymore. People don't like to get into it, but you used to get asked, if you believed in God by random people. This is before social media and everything, where everybody just talks to their phone and not to each other. But when people did talk to each other, sometimes people would ask. And my view on God is this: God and I have an understanding. We're staying out of each other's way. That's my view. Like, I don't, do you believe in an afterlife? It's not important. It's not relevant. That's how I feel about life after death. It's not relevant to me now. There's no way to know. And I don't find it relevant. The idea, people who have near-death experiences tend to, or whenever they tend to like, I got to seize the day now, kind of a thing that they have. And whenever somebody close to you dies, that's another kind of thing where you start thinking, life is short. I got to live every moment. And it may seem that way, but for a lot of people, life isn't short. Life is every fucking day. It's long. It's boring sometimes. It's boring a lot of times. And I'd love to live every moment, but I don't have that kind of energy. In fact, people who really like to live every moment and go, really gung-ho, I find them exhausting. So that's great. So I get it. I get the sentiment. But sometimes I feel like my creed is more nap every moment, because do I love to nap. So I don't know. I'll live my moments when I have the energy. How about that? Seems to be going fine. As long as, like I said, it's all about, I'm just going to be a little productive. Let me be a little productive. It's better than being self-destructive. That's right. All right. So one more thing before I let you guys go. Thanks for joining me. If you have any questions, any feedback that's positive, if you have any negative, if you have any constructive criticism, I don't have an email for you. But for all others, any questions or just to say hello, it's stillsoberpod@gmail.com. I wanted to let you know about the Department of Health and Human Services has launched a website. I don't know if they've launched the website, but they redesigned it, and they've got a new, they're testing a new design for, they've got a substance use treatments locator. And it's at, it's, the website is findtreatment.gov. So if people are looking, like they need help with any kind of, with substance abuse or with alcoholism, findtreatment.gov. And on there, they've got the search tool. You put in your zip code, and you can search for all types of treatments. I'm looking at it right now. Just for interim care, for detox, if you're looking for outpatient. Then they've got, because you can do advanced searches. So you can do all payment options like private health insurance or Medicaid. There's even an option for free or no cost care. Spoiler alert, if you search on free, the closest place in near Austin that has a free outpatient service is in San Antonio. Anyway, yeah, so there's not a whole lot of free. There's a free service that helps with alcoholism and finding temporary housing and different stuff like that in Houston. Local people, just to, you know, so you're gonna have to it gives you options when you do a search for like mile range, so you may have to drive some. There's other options like for age. There's special programs for veterans, LGBT, or services for the deaf and hard of hearing. There's options to search for that. Medication assistant treatment. They've got all the facilities, or if you're looking for specifically methadone or naltrexone or buprenorphine, you know, if you're looking for treatment specifically for those, it gives you those options as well. So this is pretty nice. It's nice to see that they've brought technology in helping you locate, you know, that the government's gone up to 2006. This is great. They've moved kind of sort of into the 21st century. Good for them. But I would keep that, you know, for yourself or if you know people, just because you're going to, you know, that's a good note for everybody. It's findtreatment.gov. I just saw a news article about that. So they just launched this. And I, you know, I hope that this is a step in the right direction. I hope that people aren't forgetting about this, because the more money that goes to these centers or that goes to this, you know, the more that people can get help, I hope. I hope the lawsuits against the drug companies, I hope at least some of that money goes to treatment. That'd be nice to help people out. We can only hope. I'm definitely keeping my eye on that shit. I'll let you know, you know, because you always hear about that, the lawsuits, you know, and then they settle and it's like millions of dollars and they're like, yay. And then all of a sudden you just think, well, where the fuck did that money go? What did the state use with that money? Did they do any of it towards addiction programs, or did they just go, nope, we're going to pave streets? Like, I don't know. So I'm going to keep my eye on that kind of shit. It's like a hobby. So thank you guys for joining me this week. Have a happy Halloween week, whatever you're going to do. Don't party too hard, you guys. And this has been Yes, I'm Still Sober. I'm John Raven. We'll see you next week. Later.